Hey, glad you can make it. And welcome to the Employee Cycle Podcast, where we talk to HR innovators, thought leaders, and even some disruptors about the latest in HR trends, HR tech, and you guessed it, HR data. Well, you've heard enough of me talking. Now let's start the show.
Hey, everyone, and welcome back to the Employee Cycle Podcast. I'm your host, Bruce Marable, CEO of Employee Cycle, and you know us. We're your friendly people dashboard for all you small and medium companies out there that are using multiple HR systems. And we know that you deserve to have the data at your fingertips and you want to be data-driven, but you're pulling spreadsheets from different systems, HRIS, ATS, engagement, performance, all these different things and places, trying to pull it together because you want to understand your workforce. Well, look no further. You can go to employeecycle.com, check it out, either get a free trial or a demo, and we show you how we integrate to all of the most popular systems that you use in all those different categories, HRIS, ATS, engagement, and performance, so that we can pull all your people data into one real-time streamlined people dashboard. Check it out at employeecycle.com. But that's enough about me and our company, because today we have a special guest. So please help me welcome Vanessa Wu. She's the general counsel at Rippling. And today we're going to discuss why employee data is more than just HR. Vanessa, welcome to the podcast. Woo! Vanessa!
Glad to be here.
So Vanessa, we have to kick this thing off the best way we know how, in the way that we always do it, which is to ask, how did you end up in the wonderful world of HR?
Yeah, that's a great question. I actually come from not an HR background. I sort of at my core am a, I guess, antitrust and privacy attorney. And I was the general counsel at a publicly traded ad tech company. And I was just really interested in how data is being used in a bunch of new and unique ways when I happened upon Rippling. And I thought what they were doing by being a employee data system of record was just really revolutionary by trying to capture that employee data record and really power both HR systems, but also business systems at large. And I know we can dig into that a little bit more, but Rippling is really how I was introduced into the HR and HR tech space, but from that data lens.
Awesome. And if you could just tell us about Rippling a little bit in regards to your headcount and what does the company do?
Absolutely. So Rippling is an employee data system of record, which doesn't mean much to most folks. So what that is we really view business systems as all being connected to the employee data record. We kind of view that as like a secret that we uncover. And by building software on top of the employee data record, we think that we solve a lot of administrative pain. And I'll get into that in a moment. So we have payroll software, we have HRIS standard software, kind of onboarding, offboarding, benefits, administration. And we also do like single sign-on, so you can connect all your third-party applications, password management, laptop security, because what is at the core of all of that is trying to understand who the people are that work at your company, what roles they have, and you know how much they should be paid for payroll, whether they should have access to different applications depending on their role. It's all connected to that employee record. And so we have actually a whole variety of software that we're offering, but by connecting it to that employee record, we feel like we're getting that most high fidelity, low administrative work software solution out there in the market.
Thank you for that background. And so today we're discussing why employee data is more than just HR. So before we actually dig into that, on the surface, what does that mean to you?
Yeah, so I think historically, employee data has been used predominantly only for HR purposes. And as a result, software has been built around employee data for HR. And so what that means is when people are hired into your organization, companies capture, their name, their date of birth, their bank account information so that they can pay them, maybe some information about their health attributes so that they can obtain health insurance for that individual. But it's always been within the HR space. But employee data is so much more than just HR systems, such as payroll and benefits. It really is the lifeblood of what makes organizations function seamlessly. And what I mean by that is you also want to know who your employees are and whether they work there and what role they have in order to determine, you know, should this manager be on a manager employee list? Should this engineer have access to GitHub? But maybe this lawyer should not have access to GitHub and those tools. So there's all these other applications of employee data within a company that are really important to understand, you know, how to keep your company secure, how to respect the data of your employees, how to run all sorts of business systems. And that is something that we're really focused on at Rippling, is that employee data not only powers HR systems, but it powers IT systems and other systems as well. And if we can unify that, that is going to be a really powerful proposition for companies.
So to go along with the lines of employee data is really the lifeblood of the entire organization and should be powering all the departments, how should other non-HR leaders and department heads think about using their employee data in ways that they've never thought about it before?
We would say through solutions like Rippling. So as the general counsel, something that I'm very focused on is that employee data is not only very powerful, but it is also some of the company's most sensitive, important information. So you also want to make sure that you are protecting that information, both the security of it and like the privacy of it, while still using it to make sure that your company is operating efficiently. So by using a solution where you're only loading in that employee data once and then connecting it up to all of your different productivity tools to give people access to those tools, to define, like security requirements around the data, I think that is like a really powerful way for non-HR folks to kind of think about employee data by linking it up into a single system of record and then accessing it that way to help with the security and permissioning of different IT applications, such as a Dropbox or 1Password. You know, who should get access to these different tools?
As general counsel with your legal hat on, I know you're constantly thinking about privacy and security. And one of the things that I think is interesting about those two terms is that they may sound the same, but they're actually different. And I know a lot of the times in HR, they might not be aware of what exactly is the difference. So could you go into a little bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you're absolutely right that those two terms, privacy and security, have different meanings. Security is the protection of the data from, you know, third unauthorized use. So sort of those catastrophic data breaches that you read about in the news, like Equifax, or notices you get about a company having released all your names and passwords out there. Security tries to combat that third party unauthorized access or use of the data. Privacy is a very related concept, but slightly different, in that privacy relates to how can you be respectful of the employee's expectations around their data? Do they expect their data to be used for payroll? Probably. You know, they expect their bank account to be used and linked up to the payroll system so that they can be paid. But do they expect, you know, their bank account to also be used for some totally unrelated purpose, say because the company just wants to, do a survey of what bank accounts are being used at the company? That's probably not. And so that relates to that privacy concept.
Got it. So when it comes to privacy, there's so many new rules and compliance around HR. And not even actually HR data, but just data in general, GDPR, CCPA, all of these things seem to be different but the same and a different flavor, and they seem to be popping up and really hot topics for a little bit and then they go away. What's your take on a lot of these types of compliance and privacy rules and regulations that are now popping up, and which one should HR leaders specifically be more tuned into?
Yeah, that's a great question, and it's a huge reason I joined Rippling. So GDPR is the first general data protection or privacy law that it applies to all different types of data out in Europe. And so it was definitely a game changer in Europe and for a lot of American companies that interacted with European citizens. And one of the primary facets of GDPR is that companies need to understand what data they have and where they are sent, how they are using it, and where they are sending it. So just really making sure companies are getting a better sense of the data that they are processing and that they have rights to use it for the purposes that they are using it. This is really, you know, stemmed from, I think, a lot of suspicion with all of these kind of like ad tech companies that were like Googles of the world that were consuming lots of data and then finding new purposes for them. GDPR is really kind of locking down on companies to really understand what data they have from the outset and what purposes they can use that data. We don't have a national law in the US like GDPR yet. There is so much activity at the federal level to pass a national privacy law. But what we do have is in California, starting January 1st of this year, we have the California Consumer Privacy Act, which is kind of California's response to GDPR, is the first omnibus privacy law in the US that provides guidance on how to think about companies and data overall. So it is very similar in concept to GDPR, in which it asks companies to do an inventory of the data that they are processing and understand, you know, where it's going and why. There is an exception, though, in California, and that is with respect to employee data. So we don't quite know how employee data will be regulated long term. For 1 year, there's this exemption, so it's going to be debated again at the end of the year. But what we do know is in California under CCPA, employers are required to, if you meet certain qualifications, provide a notice to all of their employees in terms of what data they're collecting and how it's being used, and also to make sure that the data that they're collecting from employees is being maintained securely, because there's now additional penalties for that data breach. So those are kind of the two main ones, sort of the notice about the data that's being collected from employees. We call that the CCPA employee notice, and then also maintaining the security practices. And we actually at Rippling, we built a free notice tool, notice builder for CCPA earlier this year, which was pretty cool.
Nice. I don't think anyone has ever went into that much depth about the security and compliance around HR data on our show so far. So really appreciated that summary.
Sorry about that.
No, that was great. And it was welcomed and appreciated because it's something that we take very seriously and are consistently talking to our customers about. So anyone else who can help reinforce the importance of it, you know, kudos. We appreciate it. So to bring this up a little bit back to the surface of the topic around why employee data is more than HR, is this belief held strongly because HR should still be the master and the controller of this data, but they should be sharing it with other people to make more decisions? Is it that this data should be better positioned to power other software apps? That's what I'm assuming and what it seems like you're doing at Rippling. Is it that more people outside of HR should actually be in control of the HR data? Is it D, all of the above? E, none of the above? What does that look like from your perspective?
I think it is somewhat D, all of the above. HR data is going to come in through HR systems. I think when we look at the history of HR systems, just it's very complex, complicated software to build. And so traditionally, companies have only had the bandwidth to build one thing. So they have gone out and set out to build a payroll system. And that was complicated enough, and that was it. And then another company goes out and sets out to build a benefits administration system. And, you know, health insurance, that is complicated enough. And so on and so forth. Someone, you know, goes out to build a HR onboarding system and offboarding system. So you can do offer letters and termination letters and things like that. But wouldn't it be nice if your payroll system and your benefits system spoke to one another, so that when you have an employee that has a life change, like they get married and they have a child, well, now their benefits have changed, but so too has their payroll because there are new deductions in there. And if they spoke to one another, that would solve so much administrative pain for organizations, because you could use that information from one system to automatically, you know, just like with a snap of your fingers, change what that data should be in the payroll system rather than having people manually import back and forth that data. So that was kind of the promise of, you know, these new generation HRIS systems. And now I think what Rippling is doing is taking that a step further. It's, well, you know, in addition to having your payroll system and your Ben admin system speak to one another, wouldn't it be cool if instead of every time you hired somebody, you had to, you know, you had to tell your IT professional, well, this person should have access to Slack and Zoom, but they should not have access to these other tools because they're not in those departments. Instead, because if you can connect the HR data to your IT systems, you can say, you know, anyone who is an engineer should have access to these various engineering tools. And anyone who is a sales in the sales organization, well, they should have access to all of these different sales tools. So you're doing it by role rather than on an individual manual basis. And so that is, I think, where we see the HR data really powering not just HR systems, but IT systems and any other systems across the business, because really every business system is connected to somebody's function. And so that's sort of why it's D, all of the above, because we really see the employee data record being the lifeblood behind businesses and also being behind the lack of connectivity between all of these systems being the source of a lot of administrative work and administrative pain for businesses. So we're hoping to eliminate that. We say our mission is to free smart people to work on hard problems by relieving them of a lot of the administrative heartache.
Nice. And from your perspective, what do you believe is keeping most HR leaders from really becoming empowered by the data to help their other business colleagues and peers do their job better, more efficiently, and optimize for the ideal process of operating your company with this data? What do you believe is primarily keeping HR teams and companies in general from doing this today?
Yeah, I think primarily because the tools haven't been built to empower HR leaders to do that. And we are working hard to change that ecosystem. So, you know, we would love HR leaders to check us out and see how that data can be used to drive just organizational efficiency across the board, even outside their own functions. I think it just traditionally hasn't been a way that people have thought about employee data and the power of employee data outside of the specific HR function. So we really see, you know, HR leaders being able to take the lead here and in terms of bringing a lot of really cool organizational change and efficiency to their companies.
And the last thing that I want to ask you about is the ROI. Every HR leader that we speak with, that we do a demo with, that we get referred to, it's all about what is the ROI? What is the impact? Because if I'm going to get budget for this, because you know how hard it is for HR to get budget a lot of the times, it has to show a lot of ROI. And so as we're talking about HR making more of their employee data and knowing that it's more than just HR, what is the ROI that they should be looking for to get from their data?
Yeah, I mean, I think we feel that HR leaders, when they look at their role and where they want to spend budget on headcount, are likely wanting to work on like the organizational health and a lot of the qualitative aspects of the human resources department. And what a tool like Rippling provides is kind of takes all that back office administrative work in terms of reconciling payroll systems to Ben admin systems to IT systems off the table. So you kind of have a solution that you can trust to not only house that data, but make it work across all of the different HR function needs seamlessly, so that you, the HR leader, can spend time on the like magnificent people programs that you that folks want to build. So the return on investment is essentially getting all of that time back out of the administrative work that a lot of HR functions are kind of bogged down in, and being able to focus on the people projects.
Vanessa, thank you so much for coming on the show and having such an intelligent conversation about HR data, really going through all the areas around privacy and security, what they mean, and really helping to educate our audience on how to get more from their data and why this data can go far beyond of the HR department. So thank you so much for being such an awesome podcast guest. Vanessa, woo! Thank you. So where can people find you and Rippling online?
We are at www.rippling.com, and folks can find us on the About page, request a demo from our website. We're all up on that site.
Awesome. For everyone that's listening to this episode, if you enjoyed it as much as Vanessa and I did making it, then please leave us a 5-star rating on iTunes, Google reviews, wherever. Just show us that you care. Show us that you like this content. Who doesn't want to know that people like what they're doing? Also, if this is the very first time you're listening to the Employee Cycle Podcast, and you came to listen to this episode because you're either already a huge super fan of Vanessa and wanted to hear what she had to say, or you thought that this topic was super compelling, but now you're hungry for more, then please subscribe to the Employee Cycle Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and all other major podcast players. And last but not least, all of you awesome, awesome, super awesome HR and people leaders out there, please continue to hire, train, and retain the best workforce possible. Thanks. Later, kids.